come. Again, we will see him personally and individually and collectively together, face to face. So today I want to talk to you out of the message I was inspired in the Spirit to bring to you, and that's entitled, Jesus, God's Christmas Gift to Us All. Jesus, God's Christmas Gift to Us All, taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 38. So let's read that, and then we'll ask the Holy Spirit to give us insight, and we'll hear what he has to say. Luke 1, verse 26, I'm going to read verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, his reign, will never end." Verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And finally, verse 38, my main emphasis today. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Father and Son, our Father and our Son and our Holy Spirit, thank you so much for the plan you had from before the foundation of the world that we might be included in your love and in your life. And thank you for being someone who didn't just talk the talk, but actually walk the walk. So we remember at Christmas time now that you actually became human and lived for us and died for us and rose for us and ascended with us in you. And we are now somehow mysteriously but truly seated at the right hand of you, our Father. Thank you for sending the Spirit in a particular way to begin to educate us and the human race about who we actually are in you. O Spirit of adoption, Spirit of communion between the Father and the Son, if you don't enlighten us and give us help and clarity today, we will not have it. And thank you for making that clear. For now we're moved in you to ask for you to give us eyes to see how Jesus, the very Son that you've always been in fellowship with forever and ever, is the greatest Christmas gift given to all of us. May we see it, may we receive it in your grace and in your power. In your name, Father, and in your name, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray and thank you. Amen. So if Jesus Christ is God's Christmas gift to all, and he is, then what you're to pay attention to today in your education in the Holy Spirit is how he is received and how he is given to us. That's the lesson today. So when you go home afterwards, you're going to be able to say, hopefully, if you're paying attention and remembering that you're called not to just have this to yourself, but you're preparing in the Spirit to share it with others in a better and a more clear way, then the word to you today is to have answered the questions how Jesus is received among humanity and how Jesus has been given to us in our humanity. As I did research, I found a wonderful little article written by Martin Davis, actually a friend of mine, and he had looked up some issues on this from a mentor of ours by the name of Thomas F. Torrance. So I really would like to read a little bit here first as to how Christ comes to us individually and how he comes to humanity. And then I'm going to conclude by making it real in your experience right here. So what I'd like to do is read a little bit. Luke 1, verse 38. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Those are the words of Mary we just read in Scripture. This is the answer Mary gave when the angelic messenger Gabriel announced that she was to be the virgin mother of Jesus. This great miraculous sign is placed at the beginning of the life of Jesus as a sign of the way God's love has taken in Christ, not only for Mary, but for each of us, for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. Though the Holy Child was born through the womb of Mary, Jesus came as a pure gift from God outside the range of human possibilities and above and beyond all human powers. I want you to take seriously and think carefully about what's being said here. It said there was no power on earth, no thought that was ever going to be in your mind to conceive of Jesus Christ. And even if you could have foreseen that he would be there, it would never cross your mind to think that he would embrace you and take you up in the way that he's done it and make you a part of his relationship with his Father and the Spirit. And so he continues, apart from divine intervention, nothing the young virgin could have done would have wrought this great miracle in her life. As Thomas Torrance notes, the coming of Jesus into the life of Mary was not the result of a decision on her part. For the decision had already been made by God. How have you become a Christian? To be sure, God's gracious decision was announced to the virgin by the angel. Mary simply replied, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Mary did acknowledge the decision that had already been made on her behalf. She let the word of God happen to her, and Jesus was born of her from above. This is the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ, that we too, you too, are highly favored of God. God has already made a decision on our behalf. He's already made a decision on your behalf that we are to be his children and that Jesus Christ is already our Savior. The Christian proclamation is not that Jesus is the Savior of Christians or those who go to church. The proclamation of the good news of the gospel is Jesus is Lord of all. That's the proclamation for better or for ill. This is the good news of Advent, that decision has already been made for us and is announced to us in the gospel, or good news. To further illustrate his point, Torrance turns to the story of Zacchaeus. Anybody remember Zacchaeus? Shortest man in the Bible, I believe. All right, that's just, I'm making that up, but he was a short man. Torrance turns to the story of Zacchaeus, a callous-hearted extortioner who was so enslaved to his own selfishness and greed that he was not free to make any decision to follow Jesus, even if he wanted to. It's a little bit to think about there. We often go around, make a decision for Christ, make a decision for Christ, but what if they're so trapped in their sin as you and I were? They couldn't even begin to do it apart from grace and in some other way. Yet, the advent of Jesus took Zacchaeus by surprise when Jesus announced, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Luke 19, verse 5. Jesus had already decided to enter the home and life of Zacchaeus. Thus, for the first time, Zacchaeus found himself free to follow Jesus, free and able to have Jesus in his home and in his heart. Zacchaeus was able to make a decision for Christ because Christ had already made a decision on his behalf for him. This is how the miracle of the coming of Christ still functions in the heart of humanity. God set the miracle of the virgin birth at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke to show us the way God's love takes when confronted by our human weakness and frailty. So we're to take that seriously. We have sin, we have human weakness and frailty, and there's a way that God takes to come to us in that human frailty and weakness. And what we've heard so far is it's not by any decision on our part, not by any power on our part. For the problem with us is that we are weak and we are frail. So the best we could ever offer up on our best day is a weak response and a frail response and a very human and problematic response. Mary's answer to the annunciation or announcement of Gabriel is an example of the way we are to respond to God's pure gift of grace in Jesus Christ. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Behold the manservant of the Lord. Behold the teen servant of the Lord. Behold the child servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I'd like you to read along here, this next portion, excerpted from it, because this really hits the crux of what's being said if you're still missing it. God's word announces to us the good news of our destiny in the divine love, and it is ours to let ourselves be told by God's word and to let his word happen to us. When announced to us, the gospel tells us that long before we can do anything about it, even before we can know about it, God has set his love upon us and chosen us in Jesus Christ to be his own. We cannot constitute ourselves Christians or make ourselves Christians by our own choice, Torrance argues, but rather we must flee from our own decision in order to take refuge in God's gracious decision on our behalf in Jesus Christ. It is God's faithfulness and decision on our behalf that undergirds our feeble decisions and enfolds them in his own. As Torrance notes, the entirety of our salvation depends on the faithfulness of God. And so I use an example perpetually out of my own life on what this means when I remember about the day that Autumn asked me could she mow grass, and I had the big lawnmower, and there's no way I was going to let her as a little five-year-old girl or six-year-old girl, she was somewhere around there, get on there and ride the lawnmower around. We got hills and all kinds of other stuff. She would have killed herself and harmed herself. But I said, you can ride with me. I've decided I'm going to mow the grass, but I'll let you ride with me. So she got up in the seat and put her little hands on the wheel, but whose hands covered her hands? Mine. And whose feet? Her feet couldn't even reach the pedal then either. So that was an impossibility, thank the Lord. But my feet did. And where were her little legs and feet? On my legs and feet. And so we went around and mowed the grass. And boy, she was excited when it was over. She was glad to be out there and in motion that way. And she came inside, and I'll never forget how I was struck by her response after that. She said, "Mommy, Rami, I mowed the grass today. I made a decision for Christ today. Did you? Or are you caught up in a decision that was already made for you?" Yeah, you got to participate, Autumn, in my mowing of the grass so that you would stay safe and really be secure. But we could say in one sense that you mowed the grass that day. You were on the lawnmower. Your feet on top of my feet got to participate in what I was doing. Your hands on top of my hands got to turn the wheel a little bit. But who really mowed the grass that day? Who really brought you into the life and love of the Father, Son, and Spirit? That's what you're being asked to reconsider this Christmas season. Torrance goes on to note that Jesus Christ came into the world as an individual to an individual in Mary. And it is the same individual way that he comes to everyone. So this is how he comes to you. He comes to you personally. In the Christian faith, we do not have to do with God in general, but with the personal God who comes in the particular individual Jesus Christ, so that in and through Jesus, we are each summoned to meet with God personally and individually and to hear from him the word of his love. Only in Jesus can we hear God's decision of love for each of us. And moreover, just as Jesus came into the world as an individual, he's coming back again as a personal individual, and each of us will have to meet him personally, face to face. This is the same Jesus about whom the old Simeon foretold, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. a prophecy which history has proven true. In other words, the gospel comes at time and time again. It breaks in on communities and nations and the church and tells you that you've been caught up and brought into a relationship solely and wholly through Jesus Christ, not by your decision, not by your power, not by your repentance, not by your faith, but in your participation in Jesus's faith and in Jesus's repentance. And that brings a dividing line because some people just outright reject it. If it's not my decision in pride, they say, then it's not a decision at all. But others of us share in the humility of Jesus Christ, and we submit our lives and our pride to him. And we receive the truly good news of the Father, Son, and Spirit. All men are divided as they and cast down or raised up by God in accordance with their reaction to the child of Bethlehem. And at the second coming of Jesus Christ, all men will finally be divided and judged by the answer which each has given to the gospel, first announced to Mary and then proclaimed to all of us who have ears to hear. And what is the gospel? That God loves everyone, every single one of us, and has included us in his love and life through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. He loves us so much that he has given his only son to be our Savior. Long before we were even born, God had already made that gracious decision about us in Jesus Christ. May our answer be that of Mary, "Be it unto me according to thy word." So I conclude, we take seriously, and I do take seriously, the Jesus that's proclaimed in that kind of a way. So what we've in essence heard is that God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, is love, and God loves you. And that the Father planned from before the foundation of the world to adopt and include and forgive you and bring you into his love and life and relationship through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we've heard that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ actually came and brought you into his relationship with his Father and the Holy Spirit through his life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And you and I are now seated in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit was sent to each of us and upon all flesh that we might be educated in this truth, so that in knowing this truth, we might believe and receive and actually experience the truth as truth, but not make it come true. So in that light, if that's the gospel and that is the good news that comes to you today on this time in December 2012, I'm going to give you a modern paraphrase of Luke chapter. Is that the beginning? No. Yeah, that's right. Verse 28. So here's what it is. Here's how this should sound to you now in the light of what has happened since those words were initially written. The messenger, that's me here, Pastor T, comes to you, Richard Andrews. Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Estelle, greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mr. McKee, greetings to you who is highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with you. New Life Fellowship and guests and friends and family today, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, I know how hard it can be to receive. Some of you have sinned in a way you know you sinned today. You know it's not right. And you haven't even asked God for forgiveness today yet. And still, the word of the gospel comes to you today. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You might have left the Lord for a second or a minute, but he ain't left you. And that's not just cycle babble. Jesus Christ is God as man. And Jesus Christ, the man, is returning at his second coming, which means he's got you held up now and forever. Verse 29. I'm picking on the pastors, but I just as well. Let's use Veronica. Veronica was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be that Pastor Tim is bringing here at New Life Fellowship. Selma was greatly troubled at his words. Donald, what's he talking about? But Pastor T says to you, do not be afraid, Hannah. Do not be afraid, Eleanor Lampkin. Do not be afraid, Kelsey. You have found favor with God. You see how the Lord comes to you. He doesn't come to you out of what you think and out of the way you think he ought to come to you. He breaks in your false believing and your false idols and comes to you as he is, one who favors you, one who from the foundation of the world has already selected that you be his in Christ Jesus. You have conceived and are giving birth to God's Son. And you're to call this thing rising up out of you, the goodness in you, when you're at work and when you're at play and when you're on vacation and in your family. You're to call that Jesus, not your works, not your regulation, not your keeping of the law, not your brownie points so God can get you into heaven, but you're to call it Jesus Christ. He is great and will be called in you the Son of the Most High. The Lord has given him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And we're reminded, if we think of Hebrews and Psalms, that what is man that you're mindful of him, that you're going to place him over things in Jesus Christ. And remember that you too are going to reign. Jesus has made sure of it. We're almost done. How will this be? John Cook asked Pastor T. He was just in front today. How can this be? Joe Barzilek asked Pastor T. A messenger of the Lord says to you, Pastor T, a messenger of the Lord says to you, the Holy Spirit has come on you. Haven't you ever read Acts 2:17 and taken it seriously? So the Holy One born in you will be called the Son of God. You see how to call out the gospel in your neighbors? You don't ask them about any decision to make. You come to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. Who he is and who they are in him. And you watch how this, it doesn't mean they won't be puzzled. They'll be like you. In church, we're asking these questions. What? How in the world can this be? And we're supposed to be the ones already believing the good news. So the Holy One born in you will be called the Son of God. 36. Even Tony Mara. Tony Mara. Where are you at? I'm picking people I can pick on. Tony Mara, even your relatives are giving birth to Jesus. And those in your circle of relationships who are said to be unable to conceive, even now have Christ in them by grace. Colossians 1. Read it. 17 through 27. For no word from God will ever fail. If the goodness that comes out of you when you treat your neighbors right and while you're on your job, it's loving, kind, compassionate, cares for, self-giving, self-sharing. If you see that same thing coming out of your neighbor who doesn't come to church or even profess to believe in Jesus Christ, where in the world could that love come from if there's only really, truly one source of love? You got to answer that question. That's a question that's probably going to divide some of us. Let's finally go to the end. Mary says, you should say, I am the Lord's servant. Donna answered. Bailey answered. I'm the Lord's servant. Carla McKee answered. Diana answered. Joe answered. May it be to me according to your word. Then the messenger, Pastor T, left. But I'm coming back next week. Y'all gonna have me for a little bit.